Scripture this evening will be taken from Psalm 67. I'll give you a moment to turn there, and I wish you would turn there. it was a great joy digging into this particular passage of Scripture. Psalm 67. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity, and guide the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us, and God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Psalm 67 is a delightful song, short, yet filled with wonderful expression, rich history, and a story of God's goodness. Our title this evening is The Response to a Redeeming God. We have 2 points to cover: God's redemption and our response. Let us begin by building our first point, God's redemption. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us. Selah. Selah is an important word in the Psalms. It means something important may have happened or is about to happen. It serves as a break, both in music, this is a song, and in idea, a break for emphasis, an opportunity for reflection. If we were to adequately pause and ponder this first verse, we would travel back to Exodus 34, say verse 29, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tablets of the testimony in his hand. As he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. This is further continued in number 6. Aaron the high priest says in verse 24, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So here is our setting for the 67th Psalm. God giving the 10 commandments, the beginning of his written law. And Moses' face shining from being in fellowship with God. Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth. God's written law, the stones Moses was holding, is part of God making his way known on earth. His written law, and later his entire written word, is the purpose of the nation of Israel. It was to make his way known on earth. And that's where our psalmist, likely David, finds himself. Part of the nation, being the light to shine to the earth. Sharing the saving power among the nations. So I ask, saving power? Saving from what? This psalm began with reference to Moses and the Aaronic blessing. Should one assume that being saved from Egypt? That's how the story goes. That would be fresh in the mind of those listening to the song, the first listeners. The Selah pointing to number 6. Saved from Egypt? No. Our psalmist directs us more specifically in verse 4. You judge the peoples with equity. God the judge? But surely a gracious God. A God who deserves praise of all nations, surely isn't a judge to sentence judgment? Yes, a good God who is gracious is also a good God, the judge, and is to be feared, referring to verse 7. Our first point is God's redemption. We cannot forget that to be found, one must be lost. To be saved, one is inherently to be in danger. And to use the New Testament phrase, to be born again, one must first be dead. Moses' face shone after talking with God, carrying the tablets of the testimony that were written on stone. we cannot miss that blessing came from the law. What else came from the law? Clearly, our judgment. God gave Moses the written law so we could see the standard that God has and how far we fall from it. God is a gracious God. He is patient. Exodus 34 says God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. But God's saving power is from God's judgment. For number 6 continues, but who will by no means clear the guilty? Who, God, will by no means clear the guilty? We continue in verse 4. Verse 4 concludes with a Selah. Did you notice that? Selahs are important, mind you. Verse 4 concludes with our second Selah. Let's step aside for a moment, zoom out over our text, and look at the overall structure. We have 7 verses. Charles Spurgeon points out the first verse, points out the first verses and the last verses are 2-line stanzas. Verse 4 is a 3-line stanza, and it sticks out pretty well as the oddball. You see, verses 3 and 5 are repetitions of each other. Check that. They're the same. If you set aside the repetition, the selahs, the emphasis words, the verse 4 really sticks out. It's our important verse. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah, we stop, we pause, and we reflect. God's redemption is his redemption because he is doing the redeeming. It is his saving power, his work, his guiding of the nations. That is, of course, why he is worthy to be praised. Our response is praise. To our second point. I was asked this week about my prepping for tonight. Specifically, the question was posed, how has God convicted you? I wasn't surprised at all by this question. To learn of God, to have head knowledge about his character, how he works, and to read how glorious, patient, and loving he is a beautiful thing. I can't learn anything of use. I can't know God or his works without first coming face to face with the fact that God is to be feared. I will answer that question in a moment. How has God convicted you? A healthy dose of fear of a holy and good God. We heard this morning from Pastor James, a theme from Proverbs, is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is found in Proverbs 1:7 and again in 9:10, wisdom or knowledge. To learn of God's wonder and beauty begins with a healthy dose of fear. Thankfully, this respect comes with a growing confidence. We learned this morning, a growing confidence rooting in our growing sanctification. Behold, and the effects of sin diminishing gives us a growing fear of what sin in us that we need to kill. Giving us a growing confidence of who we are and who God is. How has God convicted me? Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for God is judge. But he has saving power from my sin. He is the judge, but he has saving power. My response is of fear, of respect for my lowly position before a holy God. So our response is fear of judgment. Fear, and follow me with this progression here, fear is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge, knowing more about your situation, who you are and who God is, knowledge is conviction. Conviction leads to God's saving power. Our response is praise. The God of Moses who led the Israelites out of Egypt, the God who provided manna, the God who talked with Moses, whose face then shone with light, the God of Aaron, who blesses us and is gracious, gives us peace. This God is our God. Our praise to this God should never cease. The psalmist feared God and could partake of God's blessing, the saving power. But the psalmist had no clue. They had no inkling of an idea, the magnitude and brevity of God sending his own son to earth to live among the peoples. But the peoples praised. But the peoples mocked to be beaten. The son was mocked. He was beaten and crucified. The psalmist had no idea the cost of a judge who can judge with equity is someone who has taken on the punishment themselves. Let me say that again. The psalmist had no idea the cost of a judge who can judge with equity is someone who has taken on the punishment themselves. This was revealed later. And our response is to take the blessing. Let your face shine upon us. Lastly, our response is to take our praise to the ends of the earth. Five of our seven verses use the direct plurality of peoples praising God. The other two verses have indirect references to the plurality of people by the use of we and us. So the first listeners of this song could key on those verses, the us and the we verses, the two verses that are indirect. They could key on those verses, and us and we could simply mean Israel. I could see that filter happening. They could block out the what I'm calling the direct plurality. That is me saying, let the nations be glad. Let the peoples, all peoples. But the first listeners could think of all the people of Israel. But the other five verses, let all the peoples, can't be taken to mean just Israel. God's saving power is for everyone, everyone. But of course, right? Of course, right? No, the Pharisees in the first century, during Jesus' time, they hated this idea. The New Testament, in the New Testament, when Jews converted to Christianity, those converts struggled with it. Perhaps the listeners of our Psalm 67 missed this fact. Maybe they thought all peoples praising God meant a political conquest across the whole earth, that God's people, Israel only, would be victorious. Or maybe they were honestly excited for all people to be saved. Maybe they were stirred with conviction of sharing the psalm to everyone. Maybe they sought out individuals of other cultures or nations to tell them about this amazing God who is to be praised. Maybe. But we should see the bigger picture. We have much more of the story. Verse 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. 7, let all the ends of the earth fear him. We should be convicted to share our worthy God to unworthy people. We were once lost. We were once in danger. We were once dead. Dead. The evil kind of dead. The kind of dead people that don't know they are dead and are just walking around doing dead things and thinking dead thoughts. Just call them walkers, because even the identity of being dead is too much credit for them. That's how dead we were. That's how dead I was. Dead. But God, he has the saving power. God shall bless us, all of the ends of the earth fear him. So then our response is praise, taking our praise to all peoples so all the dead can live. So all the dead can praise God for his glorious ways, for his redeeming work, for they are no longer dead. And the fear? A growing confidence. A growing respect. Growing love and admiration. Our response. A growing praise. If I may, I would like to read Psalm 67 one more time and conclude in prayer. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm. A song. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. All the ends of the earth fear him. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for your saving power. Thank you for your son that you sent to us. Thank you for the revealing of your plan over time. The psalmist of 67 could not know the big picture, but still the praise was there. Today we can see the whole picture. We can see your son. Lord, thank you that we can praise you, for you deserve it, and we were dead. But we can live and we can grow. So let us praise you, O Lord, here and to the ends of the earth. Thank you. Amen.